America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another non-Luke Box including episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
We don't have loot boxes or microtransactions, but we encourage everybody to purchase the season pass.
Yeah. Because it doesn't cost you a damn thing with us.
Yep.
Yeah, as you probably know, obviously this is Let's Weekend. It's not the Day Zero update, but, you know, there really is kind of not a way we couldn't bring it up. The shit fest that is Star Wars Battlefront 2 and all of the just god-awful shit going on with the microtransactions and all that garbage.
Yeah, I'll say we'll have a very in-depth discussion of that on Sunday, so
yeah,
stay tuned for
that. To say we're going to have things to talk about, and the thing is, in hindsight, this isn't really just about Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's a combination of things that have been coming to a head for the last couple of years, and now it's finally gotten to the point where people just aren't ignoring this shit anymore.
Nope.
But that's for Sunday. So for now, we're going to talk about all the other shit that's been building up for a couple of years now and is finally coming to a head. Of course, we will be talking about some more of the... We're going to be talking about some political garbage, including the tax bill. Also, Twitter is apparently getting, you know, cleaning up and clarifying all of their terms of service, which means that a bunch of alt-right poster children are now, you know, they have the sads because they're no longer verified on Twitter.
Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. Oh, boo-hoo. I feel so bad for them. Also, of course, we're going to have some news about Cards Against Humanity, which is a nerd pastime anybody can enjoy. We got some science news, including a beast from the deep that has been around for about 80 million years. Apparently the war on drugs is slowly turning into a parody of itself.
Yep.
All this and more on we have another non-transaction including episode of Let's Weekend. Yeah. So, start us all off, Phil. What have you been up to this week? Well, I mean, I already kind of know what you've been up to this week, but go ahead and tell everyone else.
Yeah, you know, Oathbringer came out this week. Yeah, that's all. Sorry, just that's all I've been doing. I'm about 30% of the way through, and it's a 55-hour audiobook, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, it's really good. It's paced really well. It just gets right to the point and gets you right into what's going on. And I'm podcasting right now, but I really would like to be listening to it right now. So, yeah. But I like you guys, so I'll take a couple hours break. So, there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Stormlight Archive is quite possibly my favorite fantasy series so far. Guessing it's probably going to be a 5-book series by the way it's going at this point. So, yeah. Good series. If you haven't tried it out, it's excellent. So, read it and enjoy, but just be aware that these books are long.
So that's it. Mm-hmm. How about yes, you, Pat? They are bricks.
Yep. So how about you, Pat?
Well, I had a lot of plans to watch more of Ruby and... find another anime to binge at some point. At least sleep is awesome. So that is pretty much all that came of my week. So yeah. I don't really have much to say. I just, yeah. At least I'm well rested.
Yeah, some weeks are like that.
Sleep yeah. is good like that. All right. So, Teresa?
Yeah.
Wow, that went really fast. Yeah. Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 14. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 14. Mm-hmm. been working
One
on
of the
that.
Things that fell to the wayside because of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. You fell asleep the one day, and then I fell asleep the second day, and, well, maybe this weekend. But yeah, I've been working on that. I did the whatever the seasonal thing is right now, and it kind of brings in a Final Fantasy XI character. And I enjoyed that. That was pretty cool. I'm pretty sure I finished up the thing. Did I finish up the thing? I finished up the thing. The thing is done. So it was cool. Not too time consuming. I mean, it took me like, I don't know, an hour. But still, you know, a solid showing for one of the seasonal events or special whatever. I don't know what it is. Went back to the old server, kind of working on some stuff there. Did a lot of watching Blackadder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done. I've got like two more episodes. And I'm interested to see how everything ends up. I watched the Christmas special too. That was pretty funny. I liked that.
I need to check out that show. I've heard a lot of good things about it and never had a chance to try it out yet. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of the beginning areas of where Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry did their things, and of course Rowan Atkinson.
Hmm.
So I also kind of took a few minutes and watched one episode of Hugh and Fry or Laurie and Fry? I don't know what it was, something like that. And that was kind of, I don't know, a little bit Kids in the Hall-ish, Portlandia, something. It was something, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we finished up this part of the season for Star Trek Discovery.
Chapter one,
if that's what they want to do with it. You know, there's a lot of British shows that will kind of take a really big mid-season break and do kind of like a mini cliffhanger. I don't know what you call it. But that show is it's really solid, enjoying it. It's a little confusing sometimes to be watching it, you know, side by side with what is that called? The Orville. And they're not yet. because sometimes I'm like, well, but this, no, that's
that's a different show.
Yeah, it's not quite so. They move over in my brain more so than anything else has. You know, because when you were watching things like Voyager and DS9, yeah, they were going concurrently, but they were very much in their own box.
Yeah.
And for some reason, these two shows do not stay in their own box in my little brain. So that's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. I watched the first couple of episodes so far on Netflix because that's where I can get it here.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because you know how Netflix has, you can like just turn on closed captions or subtitles or descriptive. Yeah. Yes. Well, they're so nerdy. On Netflix with Star Trek Discovery is you can have Klingon subtitles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. So if you're fluent in Klingon, then you would rather have that instead of English. yeah.
Okay.
So no, anytime they're speaking Klingon, it's like there's nothing there. And when they're speaking English, it's all Klingon. So I just thought that was fun.
That's pretty funny. So Netflix has it for you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. We get screwed. The rest of the world pretty much gets Netflix.
Yep.
Yeah, we do get screwed unless, you know, you find a way around it. And not everything has subtitles, so you have to go to kind of opensubs.org because, you know what, there's no sense trying to figure out what the hell's going on if you can't hear very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really been about it for me.
All right. Well, then, Chris, it's your turn.
So I've been watching more Dragon Ball Super. Pretty much watched everything that is out here in the Funimation dub, which is up to episode 40, which I believe is at the conclusion of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Though the aftermath has not started yet. But the tournament is really cool, especially sort of the whole revelation of there are these other universes that then they just start getting weird. Like, and if the number, there's 1 to 12, and the ones that add up to 13 are mirror universes, essentially. So ours is with universe 6, the Dragon Ball's universe is 7. And the destroyers are twins. The one is out of shape. But yeah, they have Saiyans in the other universe. Their planet never gets destroyed. And they become kind of police of the universe. In a sense, they still have their Frieza. And supposedly he is very much a savior to orphans or whatever, and then reveals, nope, he's a shithead just like the regular Frieza. And all that sort of weird stuff that's pretty cool. Way that they expand it, though it also kind of sends the message that, yeah, we can't come up with any other interesting stuff to do within their own universe. So they bring in these other universes. Give you all these nice twists of, hey, the Saiyans in the other universe have never gone Super Saiyan. So Vegeta kind of becomes a jerk in order to help them, the one that comes along for this tournament, to turn Super Saiyan, to learn how to do it, at least. All that sort of cool stuff, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of it as it comes out. As for games, wait, where's my list? I've been playing more Super Mario Odyssey, and I definitely need to mainline it because it's starting to get a little old, as every world, or kingdom, whatever they call it, is kind of the same thing. Despite there being some variety, it's kind of just, hey, here's this mostly open environment, you go explore it, solve the one main kind of quest line, and then opens up more stuff, and then you just explore and try and get all the moons you can. And it's wearing on me. So I need to just do enough to go to the next place and not try to just explore as much as possible. And there's a weird thing with New Donk City that is kind of really fucked up. So they have a big celebration every year to celebrate the defeat of Donkey Kong. And so it's kind of like the whole thing with the American Civil War, where they've named a bunch of their streets and this whole city after Kongs. that's fucked up. Just like how northern states have Confederate memorials and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing, Nintendo? Fucking just putting this, their Kong supporters here in New Donk City. Just a very weird thing that just kind of stood out in that game.
It's only weird if you forget that in the first two Donkey Kong games, Mario's kind of a dick. In fact, in the second Donkey Kong game, he's actually the villain.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put it that.
I don't know. That's my reading as this kind of being a city that is very much pro human or whatever the hell these people are. They have built skyscrapers that don't really fit themselves. If you pay attention to some of the, like, the tops of some of the skyscrapers where they have floors that are way too small for Mario, much less the actual humans. And you're like, this whole architecture is fucked up.
Well, if there's one thing about the Mario games I've learned is that whoever is in those in that universe that work as architects are on some seriously hard drugs.
Yeah, though there's a couple of them that try to be more realistic, like obviously New Donk City. But then they have just weird shit like that. Yeah, it's been pretty good. So just looking forward to playing more of that and hopefully trying to finish it up. I'm in the Kitchen Kingdom, whatever it is, the food one.
Yep.
Which the worst worlds in that game are the ones with poison water. Because it means anytime you're near the water around the various land masses and you fuck up, you're dead. And you kind of get reset back to a whichever last like checkpoint you're at. Which is not fun when you're especially trying to, say, explore and figure out where these different moons are at. But other than that, it's still a lot of fun. I've been playing more Nier Automata and got to a weird point where I didn't know what to do next because I had apparently gotten a prompt to go to a certain spot and kind of forgot about it. Because it doesn't really keep track of that stuff for you. It just kind of shows like a landmark or a mark on the map. That could be anything in that area if you're not paying attention. So I had to find this small pipe in this whole sunken part of the city. And I kept reading, like, go to the pipe. And I kept thinking, well, there's this pipe where the ladder that goes down into the bunker. But you can't open it, can you? It's like, no. I go around, oh, there's this pipe with water coming out of it. I go in there, and there's an elevator. I go down and just kill a bunch of enemies, reach the place where Emil, where his home is at. I stole his mask. And I don't know what else to do after that. It didn't seem to trigger whatever was next. It was supposed to be like some sunken, submerged city, I guess. And I could never find it. Because it's all, like, pitch black area. Like, I literally had to turn up my brightness just to be able to see somewhat. I need to go back because I died at a certain point. Just fucking around. I need to go back into that. That game's still very weird. I look forward to playing
it. Yes, it is.
I've also been playing some of Warframe, which got its big Plains of Eidolon update, which adds this big whole open world area that you can kind of explore, you can do quests, you can collect crafting materials to make new types of swords and such, as well as a variety of other things. I'm just barely dipping my feet into that, but I've done a couple of missions, which... some of it you can tell when you're matched up with people that have done those missions before because they're just fucking booking it for where they know the things are at. And I'm sitting here like 100 meters away like, wait up, guys. I'm coming. But yeah, it's a pretty cool area that they have mapped out. I think it's 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers, so 4 square kilometers. Which is a pretty big place, and there's a little a marketplace that is where all the sort of quest givers and where all your sort of crafting destinations are. I still need to put more time into that just to get to it, because there's a lot of stuff I can't do just because I've only done a couple missions, I haven't gotten the crafting resources and all that to do anything else, but so far so good. I ended up also starting it up on Xbox One. And I picked a different Warframe to use. This one has a lightning ability, so you can kind of just shoot out lightning and zap enemies and kill them pretty quick. Though you have energy limits, and you have to actually pick up like things that they drop to refill your energy. But I did get a sick bow. And I'm just kind of playing more stealthy and just shooting enemies with bows. And the fun thing is when you hit them with a bow, they just go flying off into like a straight line from where you shot them, which is hilarious in a ragdoll kind of fashion. Because sometimes they just go flying off into nothingness if you hit them the right way. Other times they just kind of go hit the wall. It's like right behind them and just start flipping out. It's added a nice little bit of levity to the game. as well as just making the stealth stuff pretty cool. Because there is kind of a stealth aspect to that game if you want to, or you can just play it. If you just pick up the rifles and pistols, you can just shoot everything, and it works really well in that way, too. I started up on Xbox One, and the first thing I saw in the public chat is the N-word.
Of course!
Minus the E, of course, to get around the filter. it was like, oh yeah, how do I turn this off? Which is not easy at all. You have to go into the settings and click every option to turn it off. There's no like easy toggle like, hey, how about we just not have public chat right here?
You know what I'm really starting to think? I'm thinking that the only way we can turn the tide of using like racial slurs like that is that every time you're on like chat, team chat or something, and you use a racial slur, the program should just automatically dox you. Just like that.
Maybe, or just...
No, just kill you.
Like,
yes, it just reach out and strangle... Well, it should reach out, strangle you, smack you, and say you
half
are
half your
stupid.
Level on your character?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm a level 60. Nope, you're 30, because you said the N-word.
Yeah. Keep going, and we're getting you down to 5.
There's another guy who said masturbate, but put spaces between all the letters, so it got through. It's like, oh yeah, that's like people trying to figure out how to get past like the filters in like AIM or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or the AOL chats, that sort of stuff. But except it's in a video game, a specific video game. Just some fun stuff with the dealing with idiots, and now I don't have public chat anymore, so I don't have to worry about it. It would just be nice if you could report people specifically in that chat. As far as I can tell, you just put them on an ignore list, and it's like, I'm never going to see this person anyway. It's a public chat when you're sitting in your ship. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not physically with them. Your chance of getting matched into, like, quests with them is likely not to happen. So it's literally like a... They're never going to get punished unless you specifically... find a way to do it through Xbox's reporting stuff, which I don't know how easy that would be, but I made sure to take screenshots of that stuff on the Xbox. I need to actually see if it's up. I also found a weird game that's on Xbox One. It was not really a game. It's literally labeled as like Test Game 2 in my download history. And it apparently shows up on occasion as like an Xbox One X enhanced game, which doesn't make any sense because it's a nothing thing. Not a one.
Yay, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, captures. Yeah, I think that's been pretty much it. I'm just going to look up these captures and I'll post links in the chat, but you can go ahead, Brandon.
All right. Okay, so what I've been doing primarily as far as gaming-wise is Horizon Zero Dawn. Still working on the main campaign. You know, the good thing is about this time of year is that because, you know, pretty much my... there's not really any big releases coming that I want to check out just yet, at least not until after Christmas. I get a chance to be able to go back and replay or... play some stuff I didn't get a chance to play first, so I'm doing Stardew Valley right now as well. So I'm doing that. Also listening to a shit ton of prog rock, as I usually do, because, well, it's fun.
And what's in your playlist these days?
I've got, let's see, I got Early Genesis, Spock's Beard, a Japanese group called Gerard. I got, let's see, what do we got? Seventh Wonder. And that's what I got at the moment. Hmm. I'm also going to do, I also got Arena. I'm also going to get some Pendragon and Meridian as well later on. So you listen to a lot of that. And let's see. I had to do some grocery shopping this week, so I went, and while I was there, I managed to find the section where they're selling kimchi. So I got a nice jar of kimchi, and oh god, that shit is so good.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, you are brave, dude.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's King's kimchi. It's not as strong as, like, the authentic Korean stuff. And it doesn't give you kimchi breath either. And I just eat that shit out of the jar. So I had to, also, because, has to point it out, as you know, we talked a little bit about the October Revolution last week, and, you know, I poo-pooed Joseph Stalin, because fuck him, he's Joseph Stalin. And, yeah. Here's the thing, being that I run in left-wing circles and have done that for about a decade or so, every so often you'll come across those handful of people who believe that Joseph Stalin did nothing wrong, that... all the crimes he committed can all be, you know, brought back to, you know, material conditions. I put that in quote. That's the big one. The material conditions. That's like the biggest hand wave that people in the left can do. You know, it's like the material conditions, man. He didn't want to do it, but the material conditions. And anything like the Holodomor was started because of a bunch of kulaks who purposely destroyed their crops and slaughtered their cattle just to spite the Russians. For the record, that's actually half true. That did actually happen. But they kind of did that because Stalin and company were kind of being dicks. And then everything else they just point as quote-unquote bourgeois propaganda. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. Fuck Stalin. Joseph Stalin was an asshole. I despise him. I despise what he did to the cause of socialism. I despise how all of his prejudices basically affected the rest of the communist bloc throughout the 20th century, including such things as outlawing abortion and homosexuality, creating morality councils to hunt out people who have committed such quote-unquote crimes, basically censoring art and literature. Basically the same thing that basically every other Marxist-Leninist revolution afterwards would basically do, because that's apparently supposed to be a part of Marxism-Leninism, and you got to get rid of quote-unquote bourgeois decadence. So, yeah.
Well, geez,
did I mention some of the? Oh, did I mention some of these same people are also supporters of the DPRK? North Korea.
It doesn't really surprise me.
Oh, for the love of cats! Really?
Some of them even think that the Communist Party of China is actually still a communist party, and that there is actually socialism in China.
Oh my! Do we all live on the same planet here?
Well, there's also the same people who are still going to vote for Roy Moore, even though he basically raped a teenager.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Saturday Night Live thing on that?
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Oh, my God.
I've been down here cooking up nightmares for little children. As I'm wont to do. But anyway. Okay, so. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Well, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, put those links in the chat.
Yeah, we'll look
there's
at them later.
There's two of the Warframe thing, and there's a video of that test Xbox thing, which just launches a white page, like white thing. It says application name. It's like, this is not supposed to be on here.
All right. Well, with that, it is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I'm going to ask you a question. Any of you guys ever heard of something called penitentials. That's what they're called.
Sounds a little lewd. So
a penitential. Okay. So did it? Okay. Does anybody, anyone here either grew up Catholic or knew anyone who grew up Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, part of being Catholic is going to confession, right?
Yeah.
And then when you confess your sins, the priest then tells you, you know, what you got to do for penance, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, a penitential was an old medieval piece of literature that was meant to list out basically all of the sins that you could possibly commit and then give you what you should do to repent, to do penance for. You know, okay. Like, you know, something like, say, you did so and so, if so, confess, and then you need to, say, live on, quarantine yourself and maybe live on bread on water for maybe 2 days, do a fast, and then do penance for the fast days for the next couple of years or so.
Shit, man.
That sounds kind of like the world's oldest knowledge base.
Yeah. Well, so back in around the turn of the millennium, 1025, there was this guy by the name, he was a bishop. His name was, hold on, I need to find this guy's name. His name was Burchard. He was the Bishop of Worms from 1000 until his death in 1025. And one of the things he did during this time is he compiled what's called the Decretium, which is this 20-volume book series that lists basically every sin that you can possibly imagine. And he drew up on both his own imagination as well as, you know, other past penitentials and, you know, liturgical literature, stuff like that. And we actually still have some of this stuff around. And the 19th volume of this particular series was specifically focused on the vices of women. So, are you ready for some tasty excerpts from this weird piece of medieval life? Because
I
promise you, this, you're not prepared for this.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Here comes number one. And I'm quoting directly from all these. And by the way, I'm getting this from DirtySexyHistory.com. You can go there anytime you want. They got a bunch of other amazing stuff like this there, if you ever get a chance. All right. Here's one excerpt. Have you violated a grave, by which I mean after you see someone buried, have you gone at night, broken up in the grave, and taken his clothes? If you have, you should do penance for 2 years on the appointed fast days. Okay, so yeah, grave robbing was actually kind of common back then, so okay, that's not too weird.
Oh, that's mostly sensible, I suppose.
Okay, second of all, first of all, just remember, back in this day, priests were still allowed to marry. So that needs to be put forth very quickly. Okay. Have you refused to attend mass or prayers or to make an offering to a married priest, by which I mean have you not wished to confess your sins to him or receive the body and blood of the Lord from him because you thought he was a sinner? If you have done so, you should do penance for 1 year on the appointed fast days. Okay, so again, still not too weird. But then we get to excerpt number three. Have you tasted your husband's semen in order to make his love for you burn greater than through your diabolical deeds? If you have, you should do 7 years of penance on the appointed fast days.
Okay, that got weird really fast.
Oh, it gets weirder. All right, here's another one. Have you done what some women are wont to do? They take their menstrual blood, mix it into food or drink, and give it to their men to eat or drink to make them love them more. If you've done this, you should do 5 years of penance on the appointed fast days.
God, I think I just threw up in my mouth.
That's not something you should do. Sin or not, that's not healthy.
Yeah. How's that for a binding spell?
Fuck.
Here's another one. Have you done what some women are wont to do? They take a live fish and put it in their vagina, keeping it there for a while until it is dead. Then they cook or roast it and give it to their house husbands to eat, doing this in order to make men be more ardent in their love for them. If you have, you should do 2 years of penance on the appointed fast days.
Okay.
I got.
Okay, this next...
Is this like the beginning of tentacle porn?
Oh, it gets weirder. And by the way, the beginning of tentacle war was Hakusai's The Dreaming of the Fisherman's Wife.
So ah! So no.
Yeah.
Okay, this one right here actually is just weird because it's just... Okay. Have you done what some women are accustomed to do? They lie face down on the ground, uncover their buttocks, and tell someone to bake bread on their naked buttocks. When they have cooked it, they give it to their husbands to eat. They do this to make them more ardent in their love for them. If you have, you should do 2 years of penance on the appointed fast days.
Where'd these motherfuckers live that it was so hot that their ass would bake bread?
I'm more concerned from that standpoint of if there's a rule about it.
Somebody has probably done it.
Yep.
Well, considering this guy was a monk, part of me is starting to think that maybe some of this is his masturbation fantasies making her.
Probably.
All right. Wow. And then we get into like the weird sorcery stuff. Have you done what some women are wont to do? They take a man's skull, burn it, and give it to their husbands to drink for health. If you have, you should do 1 year of penance on the appointed fast days.
Hmm. That's strange that black magic would only be 1 year. That's a problem.
All right.
But guzzling jizz is 7 years.
Yeah.
All right. And this one's particularly weird. Okay. If you believe that many women turning back to Satan believe and assert to be true, you believe that in the stillness of a quiet night, with you gathered in your bed with your husband lying at your bosom, you are physically able to pass through closed doors and can travel across the span of the earth with others deceived by a similar error, and that you can kill baptized people redeemed by Christ's blood without using visible weapons, and then, after cooking their flesh, can eat it and put straw, wood, or something like this in place of their hearts, and though you have eaten them, you can bring them back to life and grant them a stay during which they can live. If you have believed this, you should do penance for 40 days, that is, a quarantine, on bread and water, with 7 years of penance subsequently.
What the fuck?
Wow.
This guy had way too much fucking time on his hands.
And issues. My God. Issues.
Significant issues.
And Brandon, seriously, you ran through that like a goddamn pro. How did you even get through that?
All right, we got three more of these. You ready?
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. Have you done what some adulterous women do? As soon as they find out that their lovers wish to take lawful wives, they use some sort of evil art to extinguish the men's sexual desires so that they are useless to their wives and unable to have intercourse with them. If you have done this or taught others to, you should do penance for 10 days on bread and water.
Okay. Minor witchcraft, I suppose.
Yeah. Sure, somebody put a quote-unquote spell on you. So... So now you can't fulfill your husbandly duties, right?
Yeah.
Have you done what... Okay, this one in particular is just bizarre, beyond bizarre. Have you done what some women are accustomed to do? They take off their clothes and smear honey all over their naked body. With the honey on their body, they roll themselves back and forth over wheat on a sheet spread on the ground. They carefully collect all the grains of wheat sticking to their moist body, put them in a mill, turn the mill in the opposite direction of the sun, grind the wheat into flour, and bake bread from it. Then they serve it to their husbands to eat, who then grow weak and die. If you have, you should do penance for 40 days on bread and water.
That's oddly specific.
A lot of these are oddly specific.
Hey.
That's just a fetish, man.
Well, you got 20 books to fill. So
this dude had some really weird hang-ups.
And finally, because this was the early days of Christendom and this was the Middle Ages, have you eaten any fruit from Jews or from other pagans which they prepare for you? If you have, you should do penance for 10 days on bread and water.
Wow, that's totally racist.
Wow. Prepared fruit. Okay.
And some of this still exists, unfortunately.
Yeah. In the weird anti-Semitism stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it does.
There's some seriously mental issues or something going on back then. I mean,
whoever wrote this is deeply disturbed.
Part of me also, it might have been because I just realized something. Living in the Middle Ages must have been really goddamn boring.
Probably.
Well, not if people were doing all that shit.
Yeah. Funny thing, by the way, back in for a good deal of the Middle Ages, if you were like a commoner, like a peasant or just a regular person, not an aristocrat or part of the royalty or anything... basically, informal marriages were basically considered proper lawful marriages. And back then, there was only three things that you needed to make a proper lawful marriage. Love, sex, and consent.
Hmm.
So, in case you can't glean from that, people basically did a lot of fucking.
Yeah.
I like to think that, you know, technically fornication was still a sin and Christianity still reigned supreme, but the line between fornication and marriage was so blurry for much of that history for the common people that people found ways to get around it.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon Random Factoid.
I am deeply disturbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Teresa, that's some suggestions for Valentine's Day this year. All next
year.
Yeah,
I am want to do many things. Oh my god.
Well, now we know what... Meatloaf won't do in that song.
I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that, not this either, not that, and probably not that either.
Yeah.
And fuck that in particular.
All right, now it's time for the show proper, and of course we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And we've got two big assholes. First is the Keystone XL pipeline, which...
And those who supported it.
Yes, and those who supported it, because guess what? It popped even sooner than it was supposed to.
Wow, big surprise. I'm so shocked.
And, you know, people kept telling them, like, look, man, you put this up, this thing's going to break. I mean,
it's going to contaminate people's water sources.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's going to just... It's not going to be a good sign, man. It's not. It's, and there it is.
Yep.
We warned you. We told you. We said this was going to happen. And there it is.
Yep.
All right. So, Chris, I guess you put this up. You want to go into more detail?
I didn't put it on there, but
it was me.
All right, Patrick, go into more detail.
Well, we've just about. Just about covered it. It looks like at this point it has belched about 210,000 gallons of oil and counting in South Dakota.
Yep.
And the pictures that I've seen of the carnage are, well...
not as horrific as you can imagine.
Yeah. It's about what I expected that we'd see in the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
But actually seeing it...
Yeah.
It just continues all the mishaps they have in South Dakota with the oil.
Yeah.
Because they've had plenty of other spills, and that just ruins huge parts of land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at some point, you got to realize that there's a pattern happening here.
Yeah, some of it's just the regulations are not there.
Yeah.
And involves... really crazy things that companies can do to get away with this stuff where essentially everybody that is on the site is a contractor, so the company is not liable for anything.
Yeah.
Like, hey, none of these people technically work for us. We just hired them. And so we don't get any shit for this. It's like, convenient. Oh, thanks for ruining hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of land, and you get nothing. No punishment for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to learn a fucking thing after this anyway.
No. God damn it. I am so sick of this shit.
It sucks to feel this powerless, this impotent to change things that are just awful.
Well, if there's at least one positive to this, it's that oil spills, as destructive as they are, can be fixed. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And it takes a while. But you can fix it.
Yeah, you have to want to fix it.
Yeah.
Preferably, not break it in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, have legal liabilities to it breaking.
Mm.
You know? Because that is public land.
Yeah.
That it's spilling on. That all belongs to the citizens of South Dakota.
And if anyone was wondering why they were protesting so thoroughly and so emphatically, you know, when it was going up, here's fucking why.
Yeah.
This was the worst case scenario that people were trying desperately to avoid.
And it happened.
Yep.
And now we can't even take solace in the fact that we told you so.
No.
But we're not going to be we don't feel guilty. We warned you about this shit. We told you it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But we still hate the fact that it happened.
Yeah.
And we blame you. And you don't give a shit.
Oil companies are, like, the worst.
Yeah.
Well, not in the U.S. That would go for the health insurance companies.
That's true.
Prisons. They're
up there, though.
And the prison. Prisons, yeah. Private prison places, too.
Hmm.
And even more assholery. The House GOP have succeeded in passing the tax bill.
Yeah.
Which is not really, you know, they're doing everything in their power to mask and make sure and understand this is a wide-ranging conspiracy within the GOP. Pretty much every single one of them is culpable in this.
And they've all lied about it, what it does.
Yeah.
All the way up from Trump down to any of the reps.
Yeah. Understand what this is. This is basically a multi-trillion dollar handover of wealth to the upper classes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those that are making, I think, between $10,000 and $30,000 are going to have their taxes increase.
Yeah. Remember, whenever a Republican tells you about lower taxes, understand, they're talking lower taxes for themselves. They shift the burden over to the working and middle class.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
This basically gets rid of corporate tax, or it lowers the corporate tax. So, hey, guess what? Corporations spend less on taxes now.
Yeah. And now for probably not the 5th or 6th millionth time we've been saying this, I'm going to say it again. It might as well be our fucking show motto. Do you want the French Revolution? Because this is how you get the French Revolution.
Yeah, so now we got this in the Senate, which they have a slightly different bill that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Has a lot of the same things, but has a couple key changes, like it will remove the mandate for the ACA. That's one of the ways that they're funding this tax cut.
Yep.
Which is how poor people are going to end up paying more, because they're going to have to either pay for their own health insurance, or they are going to go without, and their taxes are going to rise up. Because there were sort of tax benefits that came along with the ACA.
Yeah.
Which is great, because there are quotes here. People pointed this out, and Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah basically got really angry and said, "I come from the poor people. I've been working my whole stinking career for people who don't have a chance, and you're fucking them in the ass with this bill."
Mm-hmm.
And they've been saying things like, "Oh, $12,000 on average for every household."
No. Yeah. Mm-mm. You know how averages work, people? Maybe you should look it the fuck up.
Yep.
And I think we've had at least one GOP senator who has defected. They just need two more to put it in the favor of the nose.
Mm-hmm. And it's once again dead in the water.
Yeah. It's essentially the way they're trying to take down Obamacare once again, but doing it through a tax bill.
Yeah.
It greatly benefits themselves.
Yeah.
Or their owners.
Yeah. And if they do manage to defend, and I have a feeling that that one guy probably isn't going to be the only one. There will probably be others that will defect with him.
Yeah.
And, God, I can't, if that does happen, God, I cannot wait for it to crash and burn again. And I really don't think, I'm really wondering how many times I got to do this before they finally get the fucking message.
Well, I guess right before, up until 2018, until I get voted out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said before, the GOP and Obamacare are the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner of the whole government here. They really want to take down Obamacare, but every single plan they come up with backfires.
Yeah.
The only way they've been able to have any sort of success is with Trump's executive orders.
Yeah.
Like those things.
Keep in mind, in this case, the ACA isn't actually the primary primary goal here. The primary goal is this tax bill. This is basically what the Republicans have been trying to do pretty much for the last almost decade now. And now that they control all the branches of government, basically, both control the House, Senate, and the executive branch, and they still can't get it done. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to know at some point how morally bankrupt that is. And
has been the only thing that's the only bright spot of this whole situation this year.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, these guys are almost too incompetent.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's just one thing. There is a myriad of things I wish, but at the very least, I just want someone in the House, in the Senate, when these people are at the press pool taking questions, if somebody would just stand up and scream, liar. Say, you are lying. To
that would
us.
Require them taking this stuff out to the public.
Hmm. And see, a lot of this stuff is already out there to the public.
Yeah.
I mean, going out for town halls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not showing up for those anymore.
Yeah, they're just hiding under their desks.
Hmm. Yep.
Democrats will say all they want, but they'll just say you're biased or whatever.
Yeah.
Fake news.
And then at some point, somebody's got to punch a motherfucker. Just, well, it's coming.
It works in other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Yeah.
So to wash that shit out of our mouths, we've got our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is Twitter. Because this week, Twitter finally went back and they have done some very much needed clarifications on their terms of service. And because of those clarifications, they've basically unverified pretty much all of the alt-right poster children.
They banned Baked Alaska.
Yep, he is gone for good.
Who just went to what an In-N-Out and was just yelling?
Yeah.
Videos of like an old man telling him to shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a crazy man goes to an In-N-Out, yells about how Twitter's afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's some fucking tinfoil hat shit.
Yeah.
They also, I think they banned. They've also banned Base Stickman as well.
I don't know, but I know Baked Alaska was actually trending on Twitter for like a nationwide thing, which is saying a lot.
Hmm. Well, they had to do this. I mean, they've been getting slammed on all sides for being a little lax on this kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yep. So. They've also banned some Kremlin-backed news outlets. It's really just, I think some of these places are finally starting to realize that they're kind of culpable in the rise of some of this shit, because they could have done something about this shit much sooner.
Yeah, they could have done something about it much sooner had they known to look. That's the that's the big problem.
And
it was zero fucks given for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that to a certain extent, there is a small risk of them turning around and doing this for independent progressive Twitters as well.
Hmm.
And I'll say we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
The way the terms of service are written, I think things will be all right.
Yeah. And, yeah, just cry more, bitches. Getting unverified by Twitter is white genocide.
Yeah, there's a Twitter post here from Richard Spencer says, verify no more. Is it not okay to be proudly white?
No, it's not okay to be a neo-Nazi, you fascist piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he says it's time for Washington to regulate Silicon Valley. Law-abiding citizens should have a right to use social networks, which you do. Just don't be a shithead.
Yeah.
Of course, he says this on Twitter, because of course he does.
Because nobody can punch you on Twitter.
Yeah. So,
By the way, I don't know if you know this, but pretty much every public appearance he's made since January has ended at 50-50, has ended with him getting a punch in the face.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, should work on increasing that ratio.
Yeah.
It's like a punch or glitter.
Yeah. Don't use the fucking glitter.
God, I just think it's funny.
Glitter gets everywhere.
Yeah, glitter gets him off.
You fucking throw a glitter on him, it's going to take him weeks to get all that shit out of there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well.
I just love how the right
fucking hippies
likes to poise itself as the, like, the staunch supporters of the autonomy of the private sector until something like this happens.
Yeah, and then automatically they're all... Yeah,
we
that's the
control over this.
Yeah. Understand, the alt-right doesn't believe in freedom of speech. That is the shield that they use to protect themselves. And you know this because the moment people call them out on their shit, they immediately want to create special rights for themselves.
They constantly frame themselves as just having an opinion.
Yeah, well. All right, now it's time for the proper show proper. And to begin with, we got good old Jeff Sessions, who is currently still our Attorney General, unfortunately. And he's considering appointing special counsel to investigate Hillary Rodham Clinton conspiracies. Because apparently Hillary Clinton is president. Oh, that's right. No, she isn't.
Yeah, just another example of how sad the GOP is that they actually won.
Yeah.
Because they would love to be doing this for 4 or 8 years, just be constantly investigating President Hillary.
But, well, I mean, after, let's be honest, after there are things about the Clintons and the DNC that do need to be investigated. Here's the problem, though. None of them will ever be investigated by the Republicans because they're culpable in those same crimes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the catch-22 here. If they really wanted to investigate crimes of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation,
they would base down with the ship.
Yeah, because they're basically guilty of all of the same shit.
Yeah.
And then a little more.
And a little more.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And
this
culminate
is all specifically
with,
about Uranium-1, which is the next thing.
Which, by the way, isn't really much of a conspiracy to begin with. Because,
really had anything to do with it.
But, that doesn't end it, because guess what? Mr. Gomer Pyle himself... House Representative Louie Gohmert, the dumbest man in Congress, revealed quite possibly just one of the worst presentation charts about the Uranium One, quote-unquote, scandal.
Yeah, there's some amazing stuff here.
You thought Glenn Beck was crazy with his little chalkboard shenanigans?
Well, he is.
I mean, yeah, that doesn't disprove it, but goddamn, look at this thing.
Though I know it's not technically what it is, but it says Fast and Furious in here, and I'm like, I love the visual image of somehow the Fast and Furious franchise is involved in all of this. But yeah, they hit the Hillary Clinton emails is in here, the secret server. Benghazi, of course.
Oh, God. They've got all their little buzzwords, huh?
And
they got
trying
all
to
the
figure out where all
here.
These lines are going is also a big challenge.
They're playing all the hits.
Yep.
Wow. This this looks like a Microsoft chart, honestly.
Yeah, this looks like something you'd make in a Microsoft Office.
I think it has this Mueller part going to the Hillary Clinton server twice.
Yeah.
As well as going to Comey, then Comey to the server.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody that figured out how to make this in whatever software he has, and just said, okay, I'm just going to put all this here, and this goes to this, and this goes to this, and obviously this goes to this, and this goes to this, and oh, shit. Yeah. There's like 1,500 lines in here.
Yeah. And he presents it, and it's, hey, this is as clear as day for him.
I think he has Obama going to Obama in here.
Oh, my God.
Look, there's around. Obama right above where it says Hillary Clinton on the right. Mm-hmm. There's Obama in the bottom right corner, and it's going right to it, I think.
When Microsoft Visio attacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just figure at this point they're saying, fuck it, let's just put a bunch of stuff that our constituents, our base hates, mm-hmm. and tie them all together, and they'll be so emotionally invested that we won't have to substantiate any of it.
They've never had to substantiate anything.
It's true.
We still don't substantiate anything.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait!
You know, they really fucking start up. They have Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, but they're not linked together. Like, what the fuck? There's also a couple times he has Comey on here as well as Mueller. He has the Obama FBI that goes to Comey and to Mueller, but they're also over here in their other point mm-hmm. linked to the secret server. I don't know. There's people are going to study this chart for generations. Try to figure out what the hell it is. It's going to be like the Holy Grail.
To be fair, I'm sure Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton haven't been linked for years.
Yeah, they probably barely tolerate each other at this point.
Yeah.
But wait! There's more. As Louis wasn't the only person to come out with his only crazy, crazy, crazy chart.
No, this one is good.
Everyone's favorite Fox News asshole, Sean Hannity, came out with his own. This one is not quite as convoluted, but still very, very, very usable.
Was it still put together by an intern who wanted nothing more than to get back to their fucking phone?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine he probably did this himself.
And he probably is proud of it, too.
Hey, he's like, we can get this up on the TV there. You can touch it. He does link Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, but it goes through a few things first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love he's got John McCain in here.
Yeah, links him to the anti-Trump dossier, which links to Christopher Steele. Links to Fusion GPS, whatever the hell that is.
Oh, boy. Wackadoos.
Got the DNC up on top. Oh, he links DNC to Hacked. Okay, we know what happened there.
You'll notice he has sort of Donna Brazile connected to the DNC sort of off to the side. And again, that's purposeful, because the truth is, the stuff that Donna Brazile basically revealed is, once again, a lot of the same shit that the Republicans do.
Yeah.
And, again, he's trying to create this sort of elaborate conspiracy chart without actually pointing out to the actual crimes of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation.
And the great thing is, the internet took a hold of this and said, hey, these are all just blue boxes, blue and white boxes. Let's just put our own shit on here. There's one that made a Toad, as in the Mario character. It's like Toad linked to Weird Vibe, linked to Toadette. There's linked to Compromise.
That's compromising material.
Yeah. And Mario's linked to Bob Hoskins. Okay. Mario's also linked to Jumpman, which is to Donkey Kong, to Diddy Kong Racing. I think Mario Kart. Also goes up to Bowser, goes up to Koopalings, then Yoshi. And Yoshi goes off to horse and dinosaur. I think they're trying to figure out which one's which. Is he a dinosaur or is he a horse? What is going on?
So,
Bowser's also linked to Delaying Tactics, which is also linked to But Our Princess is Another Castle. This is a brilliant chart.
This makes a lot more sense than the last one.
Yeah, it's definitely less of a garbage fire than the source material. Yeah.
Toad is linked to Ally, which is linked to MSM Narrative,
mm-hmm.
As well as back to Wario's Woods, which is Wario, Waluigi, Ukraine, then Luigi, then back to Mario. Wario's Woods is also linked to Friend's Uncle, which is obviously linked to Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody also basically said, I think Hillary Clinton won the March Madness tournament.
So?
So, congratulations. People have also made their own charts. There's a Friends one here. Mm-hmm. It's all centered around Ross Geller. Dinosaurs, museum, paid leave, teaching student sex. So, yeah. And also somebody just released a blank one, so you can fill in your own.
Kevin Bacon.
Everything leads to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. It's all about sexual assault. It's just grabbed by the...
Oh, jeez.
There's Donald Trump linked to that, Miss America... links to Bill O'Reilly, Met at God, Roy Moore, links to shopping malls.
Oh, God.
There's good shit in the replies for this.
Yeah. Sean Hannity inadvertently turned himself into an internet meme. That is officially the kiss of death for him.
Somebody just took the whole thing and just put Hannity's lost advertisers and put a bunch of logos up.
Oh, my God, that's true.
That's just truth.
Yeah. So here's the golden rule about conspiracies. The larger the number of people involved that have to keep their silence for the conspiracy to work, the more probable it is that it either, one, doesn't actually exist, or two, it's much more plain and open to see than they would like to think it is.
Yeah, basically every person you add to a conspiracy is one more thing that can go wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, for good
example, the way that the GOP is basically trying to sell the tax bill. Most of them are culpable in it. Most of them recognize it. And yet the thing is, everybody can look at it so easily and realize that it's a load of shit.
Yep.
It's like the reason why the Sandy Hook shootings were not staged. Because you got all those kids, and their parents would definitely not shut up if they got into like that sort of acting gig.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But anyway. All right, so next up on some good news, GQ Magazine has named Colin Kaepernick Citizen of the Year for 2017.
I'm not sure this is good news.
I think so.
Well, it is. The piece they wrote up on him is pretty good. They have a lot of different bits written by various activists, as well as like people like Ava DuVernay, J. Cole, and a couple others that is pretty well done, talking about how he has kind of managed to stay silent in a way, and that just lets his message spread further. As well as let all of the bigots out there just fall over themselves to out themselves. Because as you can see with everything happening around the NFL, as people get fed up with the notion of people silently protesting racial injustice and all the people that still try to point it back to the national anthem.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my concern was just that it was coming from GQ. That's
GQ's been doing really well. Yeah. GQ has been basically on their YouTube page. They've been hosting the Resistance with Keith Olbermann, and it's damn good stuff. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch it, I am hoping that someone is saving all of those videos that Olbermann is making, because it's probably going to be part of the historical record. Later on, after the Trump shit is over.
Yeah, they also gave some other awards here out. Stephen Colbert's Bad Hombre of the Year. Mainly, it says our nation's ombudsman of late night dug deep with us on notably terrible 2017 we've had, the potential ripple effect of Donald Trump's presidency, his role as an interviewer, and what makes a bad guest, like, say, Trump.
So, next up, we got another bit of hilarity. Honestly, these guys were kind of in the running for Heroes of the Week, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cards Against Humanity, it's a fun, nerdy pastime that anybody can enjoy.
It's just hours. Adult.
It's just hours of fun. Endless upon endless And part of their new holiday promotion is that they're purchasing a piece of land that is directly on the American-Mexican border, so Trump can't build his wall.
And yes, keeping an eminent domain lawyer on retainer.
Yep.
Yeah, their whole site is just great, as we've done before when they've done things like this. So this is their preview for their holiday thing. First day is called Cards Against Humanity Stops the Wall. Donald Trump is a preposterous golem who is afraid of Mexicans. He is so afraid that he wants to build a $20 billion wall that everyone knows will accomplish nothing. So we purchased a plot of vacant land on the border and retained a law firm specializing in eminent domain to make it as time-consuming and expensive as possible for the wall to get built. On day one, all Cards Against Humanity Saves America recipients will get an illustrated map of the land, certificate of our promise to fight the wall, some new cards, and a few other surprises. So essentially, most years they've done this thing done some sort of like holiday thing. This year it's $15 called Cards Against Humanity Saves America. You know, immediately when you open up this site that you get a YouTube video where it says Carter Jackson Millennial, it's an old man. Mm-hmm. With a shirt that says avocados on it, that you're in for a treat. And yeah, so they're going to send, I think, 6 packages out throughout December, and they're all going to be interesting things. You're going to get some special cards for your game, for Cards Against Humanity. I think last year was Hebrew-themed. Mm-hmm. So I got a bunch of Jewish-themed cards, as well as stuff with my name on it.
Hmm.
And they do some really cool stuff. There's one year where they bought an island, I think, Ireland, I think. One of the islands up there. Basically, everybody, like a 1 foot by 1 foot plot of land. and they could declare themselves the king of this island for 1 minute, I think, out of a day. You had like codes that came with your stuff and all that to do it. It's just really ridiculous stuff, but yeah, their FAQ is really good. Let's see, what are you saving America from? Injustice, lies, racism, the whole enchilada. Jason, we're going to do one of these complicated holiday promotions again. We're liars, just like the president. I don't like that you're getting political. Why don't you stick to card games? Why don't you stick to seeing how many Hot Wheels cards you can fit up your asshole?
These are people.
I don't live in the U.S. or Canada. Can I still sign up? No, this is Cards Against Humanity Saves America, not Cards Against Humanity Saves the dumb country you live in.
Hey.
I like to cancel my order. We like to cancel the 2016 election, but neither of us is going to get what we want. Let's see. Is Cards Against Humanity being politically correct now? We're just being regular correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the record, if you're one of those people who thinks that you can only make something and not have politics get into it at some point when you're based on like something artistic or something, first of all, how old are you? Shouldn't you be in school? And second of all, that is impossible.
Yeah.
When they say that, they just mean that you're not speaking their politics.
Yeah.
Basically.
Also, I don't fucking owe you anything. So,
you know. They sell you something, you use it, and that's about the end of the agreement.
If you do this, you're only going to alienate some of your listeners. Well, fuck you. We don't want those listeners. You ain't so special.
And the it ain't all about you. PAX panels are great because they usually show a lot of the terrible emails they'll get of people like just complaining to them. And they'll respond live on stage and just do a lot of snarky responses and such.
Yeah.
And it's some of the great stuff that they do.
Yeah. I need to learn to do that more often. Yeah. I let too much of this shit piss me off. But, all right. So, you know what? We were going to try and get, like, a snappy headline for this next story, but honestly, there's no nothing we can beat from the actual headline. Okay, so this is from out.com.
Uh-huh.
There's this congressman from Ohio. His name is Wes Goodman.
And he's an old, just a state congressman.
Yeah, he's a state congressman. He's an old-fashioned, you know, family values Christian conservative. He's been, had a long history of speaking out against the gay community, championing quote-unquote natural or biblical marriage. He recently resigned his position because people found him he was fucking another man in his own office.
Well, that's what you get for being too cheap to get a hotel room.
According to this, he was about as cookie-cutter Republican as you can get. Like, he was pro-life, pro-guns. He also put a picture on his Instagram of himself in front of a sign for Focus on the Family. And then he exposed, after he was exposed, he said, "We all bring our own struggles and our own trials into public life. This has been true for me, and I sincerely regret that my actions and choices have kept me from serving my constituents and our state in a way that reflects the best ideals for a public service."
Hypocrite.
Yeah.
So
this reminds me of, I think, Michigan state congressman that it was a man and a woman. They were married separately. Ended up sleeping together, and they their coworkers found out.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a way that the guy tried to keep this from getting out was pretending to be a constituent that was trying to rat out that he goes to the top nightclubs and hits on men and has gay sex. That was his brilliant plan to deflect from this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he had won an election where he used a similar tactic, but suggested he was a pedophile. He still won. What I'm saying
well,
is,
Jesus Christ, you should play it to the bone.
Morons.
Yeah. Voter education needs to happen.
All right.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
All right. Well, next up, we had some sad news for Dragon Ball Z fans. So first and foremost, Chris Ayers, who is a voice actor for U.S. for Frieza.
New Frieza?
New Frieza, yeah. Has announced that he has late-stage COPD.
It's kept him out of work since March. Ultimately, he's going to need lung transplants, which there's a GoFundMe for. It's just really sad news for one of the really great performers on that show and many others.
Yeah. Did you note the part where he has to put up a GoFundMe page to pay for his medical bills?
Yeah, there is not good money in voice acting.
No. Of course, or this wouldn't be a problem if he lived in Canada, but...
Yeah, it's one of our number one uses of these sorts of funding sites is for medical expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, it's a Ucaring, which is pretty much the same thing as GoFundMe, but...
Yeah. And then we got more sad news, which is Hiromi Suru, who was the original Japanese voice actor for Bulma, also voice actor for Meryl Streep, if you're a Trigun fan. She was found dead in her car aside the Shudo Expressway. She was only 57.
Yep. Not really clear on the circumstances of this. When she was found, she was buckled into her car.
Mm-hmm.
Just pulled off to the side of the road.
Well, something really... like that would suggest maybe she had like a pulmonary embolism or something.
Yeah.
Something heart related.
Yeah.
But man, that sucked.
Yeah.
Yep. Fuck. And again,
wasn't she still voicing Bulma in Dragon Ball Super?
Yeah, she's voiced her for the last 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And there was a good stretch where she didn't really have much else to do but the video games, I would guess, for that role.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, next up, we got some hockey news.
Yes.
All right. Patrick, I'm going to stand aside and let you barrel through this one.
Yeah, so the Houston Rockets owner over in the NBA, Tillman Fertitta, has basically openly expressed his interest in bringing an NHL franchise into Houston, which could be a one-and-done settling of the whole debate of where's the 32nd team, because there has to be a 32nd team. Where's it going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Houston is a huge market for sports. There, you've got embedded rivalries, especially with the Dallas Stars, that would be an immediate draw. And, you know, it's kind of flown under the radar as a prospective NHL city for a long time because of all the talk of Vegas, which eventually got a team. Seattle, which has been the front runner for a really long time. Quebec City, which I really feel the NHL does still need to do right by. So Houston is one of those cities that you don't really think too much about when you're on this subject, but they really do make a compelling case. When it comes to what makes a good bid for an expansion team in the National Hockey League in 2017, and I've really whittled it down to three main line items. The first thing you want is a definitive ownership group. That is kind of a given, but it's something that gets swept under the rug all too often. Even Vegas didn't really have a definitive ownership group. We thought Jerry Bruckheimer was going to try to bring the NHL to Vegas. Turns out it ended up being Bill Foley. And that was kind of, it seemed like an 11th hour sort of decision. So if you've got a definitive ownership group locked in place, ready to go, that is amazingly important. The second thing you need is a good to go NHL ready arena. A team's got to have its barn to play in. And again, that's an issue in Seattle where they really didn't know what was going on with it when the NHL was taking expansion applications last time. And it's probably ultimately what kept them out of the running. So you really have to emphasize that. Houston, they've already got their arena. The Rockets play in it. I forget the name of it at the moment, but, you know, they're equipped to host an NHL franchise even if they had to start play, you know, next season. Not that that would happen. Expansion takes a lot longer than that. But they are ready to go. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, here's the most important aspect of this. Right now, there are 8 teams in the Pacific Division, 8 teams in the Metropolitan Division, 8 teams in the Atlantic Division, and only 7 teams in the Central Division. Any city that has a location that would be described as Central Division, I think, is an immediate advantage going into expansion discussions. Again, Houston, right smack in the middle of it. Right close to a lot of would-be division rivals, Dallas, St. Louis, Nashville. That is important. And so I would say that Houston is the only city being talked about that scores a 3 out of 3 on the litmus test. And so I was thinking about this morning. I decided I would go all out with a power rankings type of model for where I think the NHL is most likely to land, because we are going to have that 32nd team probably within, I would say, the next 3 years at 5 maximum. And so Houston, obviously, for reasons I've already discussed, they're at the front of the line, because if Fertitta could get that expansion application in, if Gary Bettman were to offer him one, because they aren't openly taking them at the moment, I think it would pass with flying colors. And they would probably be ready to start play next year if they had to.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Seattle, which ticks none of the boxes, but that's the city that I think the NHL wants to get in far and away more than any other. They've got an arena deal in place. They're going to start building, but time is not on their side. You just cannot discount the fact that the league really, really wants to be there. And so if Houston, any bid that's forthcoming from them, slips up in any meaningful way, I think Seattle is going to be the city right there to pick up and take advantage of that. Now, number three on my list is a city that you don't really hear about very often in this discussion. And they, as far as I'm aware, they don't have a definitive ownership group, but they do have an NHL-ready arena, and they would be in the Central, and that's Kansas City. As I understand it, there is at least some interest in bringing an NHL franchise there. There's just no one there at the moment stepping up and championing the effort. And if that were to change, then I think it would be a real battle between them and Houston to get that 32nd team. Now, another two out of three, you've got Quebec City. The box that they aren't ticking is that Central Division location, of course. They're way up in the Northeast. I really think that the NHL would do well to go into Quebec City. The market is great. There's an ownership group in place. But they're more likely to get a relocation. I think you're going to see probably one of three teams. The Arizona Coyotes that can't seem to get their shit together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could see them move out of the Central or out of the Pacific, creating a need for a Seattle franchise, quite possibly. They would be doing really well to end up in Quebec City. Also, in a much easier transition, you could see either the Florida Panthers that just cannot seem to get a full barn any given night, see them move up there into a city that would be really supportive of them. Mm-hmm. And then one of the more interesting franchises that could move into Quebec City, the Carolina Hurricanes. Hurricanes ownership is up to its ass in debt to the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
To such an extreme point that it would be a good deal to say, just give up your franchise. The league will run it for a few years like we did in Arizona. And thereafter, just transplant them to Quebec City. Honestly, right now, I think that's the most likely outcome of this, because it doesn't really shake up the NHL divisional alignment very much. And it would also be less expensive to to acquire a team and move it into Quebec City than it would be to pay the expansion fees and so on and so forth. And that leaves a fifth option, and it's one that comes up a lot but hasn't really been seriously discussed this round, and that is Hamilton, Ontario, or otherwise the Greater Toronto Area. And I give them half credit for ownership for a reason. They absolutely have an NHL-ready arena to go. But the prospective ownership would most likely be BlackBerry mogul Jim Balsillie. And the reason he only gets half credit as the owner is because about a decade ago, he very, very aggressively pushed to get an NHL franchise, prove that there was a market for a second team in the Greater Toronto Area. He even started selling like pre-order season tickets for the quote-unquote Hamilton Predators, implying that he was going to snap up the Nashville Predators and relocate them forcibly to Hamilton. and it was just very public about his efforts and really pushing for public support to make him the good guy and make the NHL the bad guys for keeping him out of the league. And he seriously pissed off the Board of Governors in the process to the point that he might be blacklisted. He would be a detriment to any bid at this point, which is a shame because deep down I feel he would be a fantastic NHL owner. He's a great fan. He's very supportive of the game. I just think he burned too many bridges to make a Toronto-Hamilton kind of bid happen, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would be right up there in the discussion, if not for that damn divisional hurdle.
Yeah.
So that's well, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you know, if the league's looking for towards expansion, I'm kind of wondering if they're going to take concentration into account. Because, you know, if they go into the Greater Ontario area, Greater Toronto area, that's two teams already there. Well, you know, you got one in Ottawa, you got one in Toronto, so that's two in the same province. Yep. The same problem would present itself in Houston. You've got two teams in the same state. So I'm wondering if that's something that they're potentially looking at as part of the decision process as to where to go.
Well, you've got some good case studies there already. There are three teams in the state of California. There are three or four off the top of my head teams in the state of New York. Two of them, I mean, you got one team in Manhattan and one team in Brooklyn.
Right.
So that's more or less two teams in the same city. Toronto, as far as that kind of similarity goes, I think would be a slam dunk. It is a hockey bad city, and there are a lot of fans up there whose patience with the Maple Leafs is wearing thin. So you've already got an embedded market there for an alternative team to move in and offer their product. And I'm sure that the territorial encroachment fee, for lack of a better term, to Toronto, to the Maple Leafs would be exorbitant. But for someone like Jim Balsillie in particular, I don't think it would be an issue. He would pay it, you know, without a question, without a second thought. That being said, I think he is the biggest long shot of them all to making that happen.
Yeah.
I certainly don't question the market, though.
Would certainly be there.
That's, yeah, the case studies that we already have in you've got the Anaheim Ducks and the LA Kings that are just down the road from each other. Hmm. Obviously, you've got in a single area the Buffalo Sabres, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the New York Rangers, the New York Islanders, and the New Jersey Devils.
Hmm.
That's six teams in the tri-state area.
Yeah.
So I'm not the least bit concerned about a condensed fan base there because it's worked so well for the NHL so far. So at this point, it's just the ownership snarl.
Yeah.
I really don't think the Board of Governors or even Gary Bettman himself thinks very much of Jim Balsillie at the moment.
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, Seattle is, they don't have the resources in place right now, but that's probably one of the more likely ones, as he probably said.
The league wants it that badly. You've got the embedded rivalry with the San Jose Sharks. You've got the embedded rivalry with the Vancouver Canucks. It would go really well. Yeah. And Seattle has already historically been a really supportive hockey town.
Hmm.
If you look at Thunderbirds games or Silvertips games in the WHL, they get their support locally. And I'm pretty sure most, if not all, of those fans would show up for an NHL team.
Yeah. Yeah. KC would be a really interesting one, though.
Yeah. The NHL's been there before. They had a cup of coffee there before moving to become the Colorado Rockies, which then became the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
So there's some history there. So it'll be interesting to watch this play out, but you're not going to be seeing the NHL stand still with 31 teams and just have that imbalanced alignment for very long.
Nope.
Hmm.
they're in a position right now where they have to make a move.
Yeah. So.
Cool. All right. Well then, next up, there's a real estate company over in the UK who has been caught claiming that if millennials just stopped, you know, going out ordering and buying sandwiches, they could afford a house.
Yeah, there's a couple other things here, but yeah, they allege a lot of things here. They talk about giving up a night out once a week, save more than £6,000 a year, which I looked it up, about £112 a week, which is about $150.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, who the hell? These are like upper middle class millennials they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if they could afford to spend $150 a week on one night.
They're talking about couples here as well.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still two people.
Uh-huh.
You're not spending $75 each unless you're going to high-end restaurants.
Yeah.
They also talk about cutting out takeaway meals would knock £2,600 off of that, which maybe a little bit more, but that would be like saying, hey, no ordering like pizza three times a week or something like that. Like, you're spending a lot of money still. And they're just making a lot of, hey, prepare lunch at home rather than buying sandwiches or salads at work for £2,500 a week or out of the year.
Yeah.
And annual foreign city break be £700 a year. It's like,
who are these people?
Yeah. Who are these people going on foreign trips? But this is also the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A foreign trip is like going over to France or Ireland or Scotland. Like, that's foreign for them. They say don't spend money on the lottery. £830 a year. It's like, millennials don't really do the lottery.
No.
That's more of a thing that our parents do. Because that was sort of the dream of, hey, we spend, you know, a couple bucks here a week. Or 10 or 20, you know, we might win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Millennials have, like, looked at the odds and are like,
we'll just save the money.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that all these sort of stories forget is, like, we're just saying, fuck houses. Because you get a house, and then there's also the money of spending on maintenance, all your utilities, all stuff that you're on the hook for because you're the only owner of the house.
Yeah.
And also you're paying the bank back for this shit.
And you're stuck.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. At least until you pay it all off in 20 or 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's all free money, essentially. But still, you're fixing out the house after 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Sounds like a very desperate real estate company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, you know, doing this for like 5 years, you could save up the £94,000 for a deposit on the house. It's like, well, wow, the rest of the money.
$94,000 for a deposit? I wouldn't spend that much on a house itself.
It's also in London. So that's $124,000. Okay. What's that in Canadian?
Oh, more than that.
$158,000. All right. Here's the thing, don't live in London.
Yeah, that'd be another
either get an apartment in London or live in one of the, I assume, suburbs outside of London.
Yeah.
For like most big cities here. Hey, don't want to live in New York, live in New Jersey and commute.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper.
Yep.
So
just don't eat your avocado toast and you can afford a house in 5 years.
God.
Never mind what the fuck avocado toast is. I have no idea still.
It tastes a lot better with bacon.
Mm. Yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah, true.
Hey, here's a hot dog. Put bacon on it. It's way better.
Mm. I've done that. It's really good, actually. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Next up, over in Knoxville, Tennessee, there was a church meeting where an 80-year-old man and his wife came up and up to the pulpit, and they were going to discuss church shootings.
Yeah, with elder members of the First United Methodist Church.
Yeah.
And I guess most of them hadn't seen a gun.
Yeah. And the gun went off and accidentally shot two people.
Yeah, so,
himself and I think his wife.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's like praying.
This is a case of both having good gun safety measures as well as bad ones. So he removed the magazine, cleared the chamber, and handed the gun to the other guys in the church that were at this meeting. When it got back to him, he put the magazine back in, apparently loaded around in the chamber, returned the gun to his holster. Unfortunately, he also accidentally pulled the trigger.
That's horrible, though.
Yeah.
Irony.
It was lying on its side on a table. Bullet sliced the palm of the man's upward-facing hand, entered the left side of his wife's abdomen, and exited the right side.
Oh, shit.
But apparently, the injuries are not life-threatening. But, yeah, they're both in their 80s.
Yeah, well, I mean, any injury is life-threatening at that point in life, right? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
And I guess they say the ultimate kicker, charges will not be filed. Stupidity is enough. So this was a .380 caliber Ruger handgun. And he said, I carry my handgun everywhere. Why? You're an 80-year-old man in Tennessee. It's probably not going to be much that happens to you.
Yeah.
Other than people being threatened by an old man that has a handgun in the holster everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
It's clear he can't aim anymore, so there's that.
Yeah, they might want to check his driver's license.
Apparently the reason this happened is because he was trying to show that the gun was not loaded, and he forgot that he had rechambered it.
Yeah.
There's a word for that, you guys.
Yeah, senility.
Starts with an A. Well, that one too.
All right.
There's a reason why not everybody should have a gun.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and next up, this is you can make a movie out of this. This is a fucking comedy waiting to happen.
This is like a new Blues Brothers movie.
Yeah, a group of undercover cops who were posing as drug dealers. Had a fight with a group of undercover cops posing as drug buyers.
An undercover op gone awry. It started when two special ops officers from the 12th Precinct, this is in Detroit, were operating a push-off on Andover near 7 Mile. As when two undercover officers pretend to be dope dealers, waiting for your customers to approach, then arrest them. This time, instead of customers, special ops officers from the 11th precinct showed up. Not realizing they were officers, they ordered from the other undercover officers to the ground. Not realizing they were fellow officers, the dealers ordered the buyers to get on the ground. So this reporter told the rest of the special ops team from the 12th precinct showed up. Officers began raiding a house. But instead of fighting crime, officers from both precincts began fighting with each other. Sources say guns were drawn, punches were thrown, while the homeowner stood and watched. Which that's got to be a great and also fearful thing of there being guns all around. But also the notion that cops are just fighting each other in his house over a hilarious misunderstanding.
God.
The department's top cops were notified along with internal affairs. Each officer involved is now under investigation as the department tries to determine what went wrong. Quote, you gotta have to have more communication, I guess, the president. I don't understand what happened about that. Communicate. One of the units had body camera video that detailed the entire incident. That is now part of the internal investigation. We're working to get our hands on it. We're told top brass doesn't plan to comment on this until next week, so keep an eye out for that video.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Oh.
And they'll put Yakety Sex on that.
Yeah, they will.
If ever there is proof that the war on drugs really is just an abject, absolute failure.
Best thing has happened with the body cameras so we can see the cops planning this shit.
Yeah.
as they forget that they're being recorded.
All right, well, next up, we got some science news. Some scientists in the European Union have actually managed to capture a living specimen of an ancient species of shark that has been around for 80 million years. It's basically a giant black penis with teeth.
Hmm. I've never.
Yeah.
Never
that was a weird sentence for me to come back to.
But look at the picture. It's definitely a giant black penis with teeth.
Yeah, so they posit that this sort of creature might be the source of the many sea faring myths about serpents. Would be this what they call the frill shark. And it was around the time of dinosaurs, but obviously survived because it was in the water. And it lives about 600 meters down, so this is like a very rare occurrence that it was up towards sea level. And there is one funny thing. The EU scientists that were that discovered this were trying to find out a way to minimize unwanted catches in commercial fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of fell under their own trap of, hey, this is an unwanted catch. But luckily it was for good than just fishing.
It almost looks like an eel.
Yeah, it's they're about 6 feet long at their largest. As it says here, the size of a tall man, which is a very weird way to describe it. The shark is named after gills, which have frilly, fluffy edges, but it's far from cuddly. It has about 300 teeth in its mouth, needle-sharp teeth that are in 25 rows.
Yep.
And it looks... I don't know if there's any bits... I don't think they have any video sort of showing it opening its mouth, but it is as scary as it sounds.
Yep. I told you, it's basically a giant black penis with teeth.
Yeah.
And
I want no part of that.
Yeah, this is what's down there. We've barely explored any part of the ocean. I guess roughly about 95% of it we have not even touched.
Hmm.
Yep.
And the shit we're finding as we start to dig into there is nightmare-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we'll find the sunken city of Rapture, and then we'll have to deal with splicers. So,
yeah. God damn it.
Yep. Like I said. But moving on from there, the Food and Drug Administration has approved the first digital pill that can let your doctor know you've taken it. Oh, man, this can't possibly have any unfortunate implications.
Yeah, so this has a sensor in it called Abilify MyCite, made by a Japanese company called Otsuka Pharmaceutical. It's a brand name version of aripiprazole, antipsychotic drug used for schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or depression. And so it has some really cool tech in it. The sensor is about the size of a grain of sand.
Well, it would have to be.
Yeah, when it comes into contact with the fluid in your stomach, it activates, and you have a sensor on your body that is able to detect that, records the date and time, it is ingested, and then it just transmits that to a smartphone app, which you can sort of send to family members or caregivers or your doctor, which I would assume is very much a thing that would be helpful for people that tend to not take their pills as they're supposed to.
Now, that was where I was thinking this would go, like, say a judge orders someone, stay on your meds and behave yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just for people probably suffering from schizophrenia and all that.
Yeah.
It's though,
just that. I mean, adherence is like one of the toughest things when you're taking medication. It's like sometimes you just forget.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also note something interesting here that I had not thought of. Schizophrenia, one of the side effects is paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
Delusions that you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
a pill that records data to tell other people might trigger that sort of fear.
Yeah. And so, then people who suffer from that. Well, people who suffer from that, like if I were to try to make my uncle take medicine in this way, he's just going to go feed it to the goddamn dog.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a man with an IQ of 58 and he just circumvented that in, you know, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Boy. Well, it's a step in the right direction at least.
Yeah.
So, that's a thing.
Yeah. Interesting, so, but like where is it going to end up in the sewage treatment plants? Mm-hmm. Is it going to end up out in the ocean? I mean, you know.
Now, the grain of sand, even if they're not biodegradable, I'm sure it would take way more of them to cause issues than your usual suspects.
Yeah, I think you'd pass it faster than it would have any issues.
Yeah.
You know, it's
entirely possible you digest it.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you know, you have to go, it has to go through the urinary tract.
Well, then you're fucked.
Kidney stones! Oh, yay! Alright, moving on. Pringles has made a Thanksgiving dinner flavored chip. Now, if you think this is our point where we're going to be poo-pooing about the evils of artificial food, you can go fuck yourself because I want a can of this.
Yeah, I would try this.
Yeah, so this is all just promotional, so they're not actually selling any of these.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to largely be based on a concept that Pringles has come up with called flavor stacking, where you get different flavors of chips and sort of stack them into weird flavor combinations, which they posit here stuff like Bacon Ranch Pizza, or Backyard Bash, which I assume is like a burger, pickle flavor, and maybe, I don't know what else.
They do make a very good cheeseburger flavored chip.
Yeah. So this includes 8 different types of chips, 8 flavors, turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, creamed corn, green bean casserole, mac and cheese, and pumpkin.
I should just grab a handful of chips and
you could do that.
Well, it seems like that's the point.
Yeah, they kind of reviewed this in this article here, sort of talking about that stuff. So the different varieties were hit or miss. The savory flavors were the more successful ones. So obviously mashed potatoes is pretty easy to not mess up because they're potato chips.
Already.
All the same shit. So turkey worked well. Green bean casserole was a standout, if only for nailing a taste you wouldn't expect translates well to a chip.
Well, actually, that's not too, because what is green bean casserole specifically? It's cream of mushroom soup, onions, fried onions, and green beans.
Yeah. Yep.
And basically, the first two of those you can do in powder form. It's not really that hard. It's the green bean one that's kind of the... Kind of a struggle to do, but somehow they pulled it off.
Yeah. Mm. So stuffing, they say, is pretty much just tastes like bouillon seasoning.
Nah.
Not really a surprise. The mac and cheese tasted like the Kraft macaroni powder.
Yeah. Wonder why. Mm.
So it was just cheese.
Well, specifically like that kind of cheese.
Which, for the record, is cheese plus other stuff.
Yeah. And they say the worst one was the cream corn, which suffered from an unwelcome sweetness.
Oh, God.
I'm like, well, what do you think cream corn is made out of? It's made out of sweet corn.
Yeah.
But they also talk about the pumpkin. Had the right amount of spice, but, as they say, failed to satiate.
Yeah. What about the cranberry one?
Let's see, as for cranberry sauce, well, let's simply say you're better off splurging for a can of the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said it, overall it was pretty good for just the novelty of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some of the cool sort of combinations you can make, as they suggest things like the leftover sandwich, which is turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, what they call the touchdown, green bean casserole, mac and cheese, cream corn. Because it isn't Thanksgiving without a bunch of leftovers you need to figure out how to get rid of and create a face.
I know. I hear you there.
It's like, oh, there's no more mashed potatoes, so it's turkey and the macaroni cheese. It's like, okay.
Yeah. All right, I can do it. I can
deal. Subway turned that into a seasonal recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't buy this.
No.
Sadly.
Not yet, at least. Mm.
But, yeah,
really,
so...
Really, need to just bring back freaking black pepper Doritos, please. I mean, seriously.
Yes.
And the jalapeno poppers.
Oh, yeah. Those are great, too. Yeah.
But, anyway, next up, there really isn't any other way to make this any funnier than it already is. I'm just going to say it. A naval jet drew a dick and balls in the sky over Washington State.
Okay.
Interesting technique.
Was the pilot Jeremy Clarkson?
No, but yeah, that's exactly what he drew.
He basically did a figure eight and then did a big U-turn.
Yep.
It's like, whoops.
Like, I honestly, like, was this intentional?
Well, probably not.
Because I would like to think that this wasn't, but...
It's like he was probably sure about the moves he was doing, but not what it was going to look like afterwards. So...
Let's see if I can... We can see the picture, and yeah, it's basically he did a... Like Chris said...
There's no way that was unintentional.
You know, it's basically the air trails that he left behind. He did a figure eight, you know, an infinity, and then he did a big, yeah, this is definitely intentional. Because the thing is, if this, if the shaft was a little shorter, you could probably say that it was an accident, but yeah, this dude's
this
like...
This was not an accident.
Yeah. This dude knew what he was doing.
Yeah, this has to be like some sort of like dare. Like, I don't know if you can do this, but can you just make a dick in the sky, bro?
Probably. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hope you like peeling potatoes for the next week, dude. Hope you like cleaning the toilets with a toothbrush for the next few weeks, bro.
Seriously.
And then now we got a bunch of movie and entertainment news. The first one is just sad. Get Out is actually going to compete at the Golden Globes, except it's going to compete as a comedy / musical.
What? The Golden Globes are relevant still?
Yes and no. The problem is that... Have you guys seen Get Out?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
I know enough about it.
Yeah. It is not a comedy nor a musical.
Hmm.
It is a socially, politically aware horror movie.
Hmm. Yep.
It does have funny moments in it, but it is very much not a comedy.
Hmm.
And Jordan Peele basically went on Twitter and declared that Get Out is now a documentary, basically.
See, now that you could sell me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, God damn
Seems
it.
Seems like just shitty categories.
Yeah.
Because a horror movie, where does that fit in?
Yeah.
There's probably not anything really applicable unless you just try to find the weird angle where it could fit into, I assume they have, like, action-adventure?
Yeah.
This but reminds me of, like back Martian in... Martian competed as comedy.
Yeah. This reminds me of back in 1989, the Grammys. Was it the Grammys or was it the American Music Awards? I can't remember.
Grammys.
Huh?
It was the Grammys.
Yeah, they were. They had created a new category for the best heavy metal hard rock performance album of the year, and amongst the nominees included Metallica, Iggy Pop, and Jethro Tull.
Hmm.
Guess who won? Jethro Tull.
Hmm.
Now that's not us poo-pooing Jethro Tull.
Hmm.
Jethro Tull are an amazing band.
But?
It's not, that album's not quite as good as Injustice for All, I'll just say that.
No. The album was Crest of a Knave, and yeah, it's not as good as Injustice for All.
Hmm.
Metallica got fucking robbed.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, you can watch it on YouTube, the whole thing.
It was lampshaded brilliantly by Lars in 91 or 92.
Yeah. It's Lita Ford and Alice Cooper are presenting it.
Yeah.
And Alice Cooper puts the card down and looks to the side and is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
God. But, all right, next up. We've gotten the first trailer for the movie adaptation of the classic arcade game Rampage.
Yep. And it looks like a monster movie.
Yeah.
So...
That's probably as good as you could get. Because I don't know what else you would do with that property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like
basically
a schlocky...
It failed to justify its existence.
Yeah.
It would provide an interesting backdrop for this sort of movie. And also, it's made by the same people that did San Andreas, so The Rock gets back into a helicopter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird through line between this thing. But yeah, you get giant ape, a wolf, and a crocodile just wreck shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, just turn their brain off at the door and probably be kind of fun.
So. Yeah, just don't expect this to make its budget back.
Nope.
No.
Next up, we found out that there's going to be a spinoff movie for Spider-Man based on Morbius the Living Vampire.
Following in the footsteps of the Venom announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is really trying to sort of build their own corner of... really trying to build a Spider-Man cinematic universe of their own.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that, you know, for Spider-Man, that would actually work. But, you know, it would be kind of nice if, you know, they finally just bit the bullet and gave it back to Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't see that happening anytime soon.
They're content with just partnering on the big ones.
Yeah. And then Penultimate Story. It came out. It was a big hit. People liked it. It was a pretty good movie. And the writer for that movie is now being tapped to do a movie adaptation of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay. Now, that show... Wasn't that like early 90s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really hold up.
No, it doesn't really hold up. It was kind of not really the most scary thing in the world, but there are still a lot of people that remember it fondly for some reason.
Yeah.
So guessing this is going after the people who kind of grew up with it and then are now adults and will
horrified. It's the Goosebumps.
Hmm.
People, yeah.
Yeah, except that this is the guy that did the new It, which is horrifying.
Really good.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
Because
that was just more of a, I guess a bit more like, you know, Goosebumps or that sort of thing where it's just all these separate stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kids telling scary stories around.
I mean, it did have one or two recurring characters, but.
Yeah.
Which
I guess I just learned the other day that the sand that they sprinkled on the fire
is
condensed milk.
Yep.
It's dried condensed milk.
Hmm.
That's why they managed to make the fire go up like they did.
Yeah,
because that shit's flammable. Like, really flammable.
And finally, we talked about this last week, but it is now confirmed. Amazon is making a Lord of the Rings series, and it's going to be a prequel to The Fellowship.
Yeah.
They already made that. It's called The Hobbit.
No, this is between Hobbit and Fellowship.
Yeah.
So,
isn't it like after Frodo gets the ring and in the 30-year gap there?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. I think they're going to try to fill in some of those gaps or I'm not sure what they're going to do, but they got a lot of time to work with. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've also already locked up multiple seasons for this.
Because of course they did.
Yeah,
Amazon's willing to spend some dough on it, so we'll see how it goes. Because
I'm
interested.
Fuck it up.
And it seems like could potentially be their Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because everybody wants the next Game of Thrones right now. That's just the thing.
Even HBO wants the next Game of Thrones because they're doing spinoffs of their own.
Yeah, everybody wants to see
five
some
of these.
Naked
one
fucking
of these stick, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you got like 15 spinoffs or something planned. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so everybody's waiting to see some naked fucking elves, so get to it, Amazon.
Just hopefully without all the sexual harassment assault.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta handle that much more delicately now.
Yeah. And that's it, folks. We got a show.
Yep.
It was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I would like to remind our listeners that if you have a question, a comment you want to send us in, have something you want us to read on the air, or just want to send us on your insane political manifesto about the Jewish banking conspiracy, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. And on top of iTunes, you can find our little cast at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, and everywhere where fine, completely unscripted garbage like ours is produced. And with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Lipo Danolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Samus, I'd like to say goodnight.